Welcome to Comedians Talking Sports, the podcast where comedians talk sports. I'm your host, Joe Kilgallen. Each week, I sit down with another comedian to talk about the crazy, wonderful world of sports, and we'll also review a 30 for 30. For you fellow baseball nerds out there, I'll be releasing special Comedians Talking Baseball. That's right, every Sunday during the season, so you can get your baseball fix from me. On today's podcast, I sit down with comedian Joe Bartnick. Joe is a Pittsburgh boy who hosts the Puck Off podcast and is a diehard hockey fan and just the right man for this podcast today because we reviewed the NHL playoffs and we review 30 for 30, the best that ever was. Joe also tours with Bill Burr, one of the best comedians in the world out there. You're going to love it. You're going to love the passion in this podcast. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at Comedy Sports Pod. Follow me at Joe Kilgallen. Give us a review on iTunes. It really goes a long way. Appreciate that. Now, enjoy the podcast. Joe Bartnick, how are you, man?
Fantastic. 2 days away from the playoffs. So
I know. I'm very excited to have you on this podcast because the NHL playoffs start, tomorrow for my Blackhawks.
And my Penguins.
The Penguins start tomorrow as well?
Yeah.
Cool, because I know a couple of the games start on Thursday. So this is an exciting time right now. This is what we've waited all year for.
The most wonderful time of the year.
The best playoffs of any sport by far.
Not even close.
I agree. Baseball is my number one sport. Hockey's right up there, but hockey's playoffs are by far the best. I don't think it's even comparable to, I mean, football, it's one game a week. I mean, there's nothing really to it. Hockey, it's just...
Well, I think
the intensity, right?
I actually like baseball playoffs are probably my second favorite playoffs because the game means so much more and it's so much more entertaining come playoff time.
That is true.
It's like it's almost like hot, and I'm sure to novices or you know kind of fans or people who like hockey, the same goes for them. It's like playoff hockey is so much better than regular season hockey. You know, I mean, 'cause it's like you know in regular season like. Does it really matter, like, what the guy's throwing in the seventh inning with two outs, like, to the guy in second base? No, who cares?
No, you don't give
but
a shit.
But in the playoffs, when it's 1-1 in the eighth, you do care if the guy's throwing away to hit the ball to left field or whatever, you know what
or
I mean?
Or if, the guy bobbles the ball, you're like, you know, that kind of shit. And,
yeah.
And with hockey, I always say it like this. It's nutsack-tightening action. Because when I watch an intense hockey game, I feel like my sack's tight the whole time, and I'm just chewing on my fingernails, and I can't take my eyes off the screen.
You're sick to your stomach the whole game. And then if you win, you don't feel that good because you're worried about the next game. And if you lose, it's 9-11. I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, there's
a conspiracy with it.
Yeah.
That's why,
Oh, yeah. There's nothing
there's
like
always
playoff
someone
hockey.
To blame. Well, that's why I like it so much better than football. Well, basketball is just too soft. Way too soft. You got stars flopping and that shit, and I can't get behind that.
Well, in basketball, I mean, the four teams that are going to have a chance, and everybody else is just wasting everybody's time.
No, exactly. And in hockey, you see lower seeds, upset, higher seeds every playoffs,
constantly.
Every year. It's constant.
Yeah.
So real quick, I'll tell my listeners, I know we got a lot of NBA fans, and I've talked NBA on this. Congrats to the Golden State Warriors. It looks like you're going to, as of right now, they have 72 wins. It looks like they're going to pass my Bulls record. But
if Dungy was coaching them, he would rest those guys.
Yeah, of course. Of course, who could forget that? When the Colts, they were like 14-0 at the time, and Peyton set the last. Didn't they lose in this? They had a first-round bye. I think they lost early that year.
They lost every time that they tried to do, we're going to rest everybody. But the one year they rested everybody, and that's how the Jets got in. That was one of, Fat Boy's big ways in the playoffs.
I remember that. Yeah, totally. But I'm not going to preview the NBA playoffs because especially the first round. I'll talk about the NBA playoffs later, but the first round, like you said, we know who's going to win. You know who's going to win every round. It's very boring, and they surely should make it back to a best of five.
Let's just talk for a second because at least I have a Chicago guy here to talk about. And, there's people, the Warriors. Yeah, let me tell you something. If anybody thinks that the Warriors are one of the 10 greatest teams of all time, I want you to go back and learn basketball. Because if you think the Warriors would beat the Chicago, you think Jordan and Pippen would let those midgets on on the Warriors get three-point shots up? Jordan, it would be like Hoosiers. Like Jordan would know what gum Steph Curry was chewing, and Steph Curry wouldn't get over the half court line. That's where I get in trouble on everyone's podcast when I like, Barney's an old man. He just likes sports. But in the old days, Jordan could probably still play in the league. I mean, how watered down the NBA is.
15 a game, yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it's like, everything isn't the greatest thing because it's today.
No, I agree with you on that. Basketball, especially of all the sports, to me, and players even admit it, they go, it was more physical in the 90s and 80s and everything like that. And 100%.
do I believe the 72-10 Bulls would beat the shit out of this team? Scottie Pippen recently said, oh, we would sweep them, and people like took offense to that. I'm like, think about what you just said. Jordan on Curry, Pippen on Klay Thompson, Dennis Rodman on Draymond Green. He would have Draymond Green questioning his manhood halfway through the second quarter. It wouldn't even be close.
And who on the Warriors is going to guard Jordan?
Nobody. They have no one who could guard him.
Because no one guards anybody nowadays. So it's like you say, this guy's a defensive stopper. No one stops anybody.
No, you're right. I really think the Bulls had like three or four guys who could D up Curry. Ron Harper, who at that time with the Bulls was just a defensive
player. Rodman would do okay.
Rodman probably would. Yeah. He had a good wingspan, and he used to guard top players back in the late 80s.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that they'd be taking those shots on Jordan and Pippen's a joke.
I really think that the Golden State Warriors, I said this on my Facebook page a few days ago, have a great chance of losing in the playoffs. I thought they could go like, it'd almost be like when the Patriots went 18-0 but then lost in the Super Bowl. I could see the Golden State Warriors losing to the Spurs in the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be the first human. I've watched probably about 10 minutes of I know everything I know about basketball. I learned from PTI. That's the only thing I watch on ESPN when it's the original two. When it's anybody else, it's like it makes me sick. But I can't believe that Popovich is going to let those guys shoot at will all day long from outside.
They'll body him early in the game.
Yeah.
He's too smart with that. So, you're an NHL guy. You've got a great podcast called Puck Off.
Thank you.
The delightful Frazier Smith.
Oh, the living legend.
Is there any other way to describe Frazier Smith other than delightful?
If you don't like Frazier, you don't like Santa Claus.
Yeah, pretty much.
Everyone loves Frazier.
You know, people will say, I don't trust people on judging people, but I always trust like a dog, how a dog judges a person. Yeah. I'll judge. If you don't like Frazier Smith, that's how I really know you're a sociopath. Probably.
I honestly don't know anyone that doesn't like Frazier Smith. And I do know that my dog molests Frazier every time shows up.
Because he's Frazier Smith.
Yeah, he really
is. What an honor for your dog to be able to molest such a great man.
He really is the best. I'm really privileged to work with such a great guy. I mean, he's a great guy and he's such a great broadcaster. So it adds such credibility to our podcast. In a sense of like, it sounds like we're on, you know, ESPN or whatever. Or TSN, because if we were on ESPN, we wouldn't be talking hockey.
Yeah, he's a pro.
We'd be talking about, you know, the WNBA or poker.
Yeah, totally, totally. Well, that's why I wanted to dedicate this. I've had a couple hockey episodes. We actually had a comedian named Brian Moreno on who played hockey in college. We did the 30 for 30 documentary of Miracles in Men. Have you seen that one?
I get all the... Is that the inverse? Is that the Russians'
yes,
take?
The
on,
Russians
no, that's a great
on.
One.
That's
yes,
a great one.
It's a great one.
It really made me respect the Russian brand of hockey a lot more.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I still respect the Russian brand of hockey. I mean, the Russian brand of hockey is what everyone wants to see. No one wants to see Canadian farm boys slashing people. It's like everyone wants to. You want to. Here's what Russian for those who don't understand. Here's what Russian hockey is. Russian hockey is Panarin cross ice to Kane. He shoots and scores. Here's Canadian hockey. Oh, Kane is slowed down in the neutral zone by a fourth liner, and then he slashes a stick out of his hand.
Yeah, totally.
that's Canadian hockey.
It's the movie Goon. Yeah. You know, it's bruiser hockey. It's fun to watch live, but really, you really want to see those guys dance with the puck.
Yeah, it's great at the AHL level. Whenever the big boys are, I mean, I want to see Sid and Gino. I want to see the bread man. I want to see skills. All my man crushes are like my 3 years of man crushes are Bufflin, Saad, and Milan Lucic. Like, so that's big boy hockey. No one loves an open ice hit. No one loves someone's head down and they're clean their clocks. On the other hand, clutching and grabbing and just, you know, chronic interference, I can't stand. Let these guys play.
Yeah, I don't like neutral zone defensive hockey like that too. There almost should be a rule against it. It's real boring there when people play like prevent defense in a sense.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't stand that.
It's one of the beautiful things of your Blackhawks is that they have the talent and they go for it. Then you know, like there's only about eight or nine teams that just play with the talent. The rest of them are all hanging on.
That's true.
The NHL.
That's true. You're right. So I wanted to preview the NHL playoffs with you, being the big hockey guy that you are. And I wanted to dedicate this to hockey because you're right. ESPN and other sports outlets definitely screw over one of the best sports out there, or they overlook it to say. Let's start with your Pens. We'll start with your pen. We'll start with the first Pens Rangers. Then we'll get to know Joe Bartnik.
Uh-oh.
Well, I want to know what little Joseph was like.
You're going to get to know me. Listen to this. Listen to my Penguins.
Yeah, we'll get to feel that passion, that pain even sometimes. So you got the Pens versus the Rangers. It's the third year in a row now.
Yes.
Facing each other in the playoffs. And what say you, Joe? I know you were on local Pittsburgh radio this morning hyping your Penguins.
I don't even know. Here's the thing. It's not hyping the series, I should say.
No,
it's not the usual Penguins by any means. They actually got younger, faster, tougher.
They are fast.
And it's not the usual Rangers. They're kind of old. And Henry Lundqvist was the number one pulled goaltender this year.
Wow, I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, so it's not – and their defense is all banged up.
And McDonough's out, I believe.
McDonough's out at least one game. Girardi's banged up. Stahl has become an old man. I still like Dan Boyle. He's a big gamer. But, you know, Yandel's an absolute skirt. I put him put him in the corner. He'll be crying by game three. Like, let all the young guns and Kunitz just run him to death. Dude, no one goes in the – I mean, he doesn't go in the corner. As soon as someone's coming, oh, let someone else get the puck. So he's not built for the playoffs. But, you know, and the Penguins just – They got a forecheck and their team speed is amazing. I was so gung ho on the Penguins before Saturday. Whenever Murray played, I don't know why Murray played against the Flyers if you weren't sure that Fleury was healthy, Marc-Andre Fleury. And so now Murray got
that's the question mark going in.
So now Murray got hurt.
Healthy.
Now Murray got hurt, but now Flowers played or practiced hard 2 days in a row. So with Fleury, I like the Penguins in 5 or 6. Without Fleury, it's a toss-up. Because let me tell you, I mean, Jeff Zachoff, I want to have faith in my goaltending, but I just can't. But
I've got him in 6. I did that NHL bracket challenge thing. Me and my buddies are in it just for like $20 a pop. We kept it simple this year. I like the Penguins. My favorite thing about watching them recently is I like that Kessel line.
Well, that's the greatest. I mean, Jim Rutherford was maligned for about a year and a half, and then he pulled highway robbery. First of all, I loved Scuderi as a human being. I've interviewed him, and as the piece of our Stanley Cup, and then he became a Kings, won the cup out here from my mistress team, and then we went back to Pittsburgh, and he was slow. Then we sent him to Chicago for Daly. The acquisition of Trevor Daly, who I thought would do wonders for you guys. I thought Oduya for Daly because Oduya went to Dallas.
Yes.
I thought, well, Oduya gives Dallas some veteran credibility and
defenseman can move.
And a lot of not so much toughness fighting wise, but a lot of toughness is like he'll block shots, he will play hurt, just veteran leadership that Johnny Oduya brings you. But then Daly has younger legs, can move around, and I thought that's what the Blackhawks did. He didn't fit into Joel Quenneville's system. We'll take him. That was highway robbery. Then we go out. David Perron, who did nothing for the Penguins but go offsides every other play, gets shipped to Anaheim for Carl Hagelin, who's faster than Superman. And all Hagelin did was increase our power play, I mean our penalty kill, and work with Kessel, because now Kessel has someone who can fly with him. And Kessel looks like he did, you know, in Toronto for a couple years. And now Kessel's rolling. And you got the Sid line. Sid was the MVP the second half of the season. No offense to Patrick.
No, I agree with that. I mean, Sid was amazing. He's the kid again.
And then Gino was out for a month and a half, and we went like, you know, 13 out of 15. So now you get, if Gino comes back, you say, well, are you going to play in the third line, fourth line? Well, if he plays with Fair and Sheary, that had been his line at the beginning of the season. If you think Kessel's going to play with Sid. So, I mean, everything, if Flower is healthy, it's looking like nothing but roses for the Pittsburgh Penguins in round one, because besides the Hank thing and the old defense thing, the Rangers just look like an old dead team walking. And as a Penguin fan, I know what that looks like. That looks like a team that knows, that's been to the mountain and knows they're not good enough to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now, do you play? Do you jump in front of every shot? Do you run through every wall when you know deep down inside you're not going to beat the Capitals? You're not going to beat anybody from the West that comes out.
That's
so
true.
So
I think you're with me. You think this is the Capitals' year to go right through the East?
I think the Capitals have a very, very, very good. I mean, I think there's a good chance they sweep the Flyers. I know there's my, it's my Pittsburgh hatred, but let me tell you something. The Flyers, the Capitals have the best goaltender in hockey. They have the best defense 1-6 in hockey. And Ovechkin, 50 goal scorer, wasn't even their best offensive player this year. It was Evgeny Kuznetsov. So there's only about six Flyers that could even.
I want to show you this. I've got them winning in four games.
Oh, you right do there. Too. Yeah.
I got the Capitals sweeping the Flyers. Well, I like you hate the Flyers. I can't stand them.
Yeah, exactly. Who can?
I've always I hate their fans. I hate their team.
If you don't have cheesesteak juice dripping down your face, you hate everyone in Canada hates the Flyers. Everyone hates the Flyers. They take hockey back to the Civil War era.
I'll tell you when my hatred really went.
When
the
they
fall.
Didn't let you guys win the championship, but they didn't turn the goal light on because
yeah,
they're sole losers.
Fuck them. They knew that was there. It yeah. was back of the net. The refs knew it was there. They didn't know what it was like. A mystery what happened to the puck for a while.
No, it's in the net, Philly.
Yeah,
no, believe me. And what's funny is the club in Philly, Heliums, was one of the best.
And I know a lot of people
shows.
From Philly who are great people.
Yeah,
Jimmy Schubert, great guy. There's
oh,
people,
Jimmy
good
Schubert's
guy. But there's
a
fan base.
He's an
just,
Eagle fan anyway. So
yeah, there's just something about them as a fan base. I'll never forget. And during the 2010, when the Hawks were playing the Flyers in the Cup, like the local news station interviewed some woman on the street who was wearing a Flyers sweater. And she's like, oh, you know, I thought I was going to get it from a lot of the Blackhawks fans, but pretty much all they've been saying is like, boo and Flyers suck. And I'm like, is that all you got? I'm like, is that all we got? What do you want us to do, punch you in the face,
That's
you idiot?
What they do in Philly.
Yeah, like how? What more do you want? We told you you suck and get off the street. Would you like us to slit your throat? I mean, this is Chicago, but still, like, I just remember thinking like that mentality. What an idiot, you know?
No, they punch women in the face in Philly. So that's what they do.
It seems pretty common practice.
But in reality, you know, in reality though, there's really only five or six guys on the Flyers that would even make the Capitals roster. So, I mean,
yeah, the Capitals run deep.
And the thing is, too, you know, like, here's what the Flyers are. They're a one-line team that wants to turn everything into a shit show, that then they have a great power play, which I will grant them, and they have a pretty good penalty kill. So they want every game to just be a mishmash of 5-on-4, 4-on-3 BS, because they can never take anybody on 5-on-5.
Yeah.
And that's what they turn every game into. Okay. You want to play rough with the Capitals? Tom Wilson, Ladd, and those guys will eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You want to play power play hockey? Go ahead. Ovechkin, Backstrom, Kuznetsov will eat your breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Philly, you're done. 1975. Have you ever seen the Flyers win the Cup? Have you ever seen the Flyers win the Cup? If you have, you must be crying because you know you're close to dying. Have you ever seen the Flyers win the Cup? Let me tell you something.
I fucking love you, man.
Their championship roster, their championship banner is so old, Betsy Ross sewed it.
You sound – I love right now because right now I'm just picturing – you should have a beer in your hand and you should be on like a bus on the way to the Consol Energy Center right now to see a Pens game because you just seem like you would lead the fucking bus
I would. I would. I almost said on radio today, can we – make it so that Pierre Maguire stay. Hopefully he's not calling the game, so I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I just want everyone in Pittsburgh to make Pierre Maguire stays in Pittsburgh the worst days of his life. Like, spit in his food, slash his rent-a-car tires. Like, make him never want to come. I hate Pierre
Maguire. He doesn't get to go to Premier Brothers.
I hate Pierre Maguire with every ounce of my being.
That little penhead, Pierre?
Oh, you know, could he blow Giroux any harder?
I mean, he loves Claude.
Oh, he actually had the nerve to say, Rick Tocchet, an old Flyer great, the Penguins Flyer. He won his cup with the Pittsburgh Penguins, Pierre. But, you know, it's all Comcast and blah, 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 blah. So Pierre's such a weasel.
Yeah, even hockey coverage has its shills, right? Those guys that just kiss ass like that.
Oh, yeah.
I've never been the biggest Pierre Maguire fan. I like my boy Eddie O for a lot of reasons.
Ed's, that's the thing. I wish someone out there, you have smart young fans, someone out there come up with an app that lets you hear Doc and Edzo, but not Pierre Maguire. That's because I hate going mute because I love Edzo.
Yeah.
Love Edzo.
You ever try muting it and then getting like a radio coverage?
I do. Then you got
it never lines up right.
Well, no, it doesn't. And I don't really care because Mike Lang's a Hall of Famer in Pittsburgh. So I'd rather listen to Mike. I really can't stand. I just cannot stand Pierre Maguire. I think. And I went on stage every night in Canada last week saying, I love Canada. You know how much I love hockey to cheer. Crown Royal, that's my drink. I'm like, but F Pierre and F Rush. I said, but at least Rush I can hear. Tom Sawyer. hit the channel. Pierre, I can't
yeah,
change the
you're
channel.
Screwed.
Can't change the channel on Pierre.
What'd they react to you hitting on Rush?
Nah, they didn't care.
They didn't give a shit, right?
It's Rush. God, he's going to fight for... It's not like you say, I hate AC/DC. You get a bunch of Aussies killing... I mean, that's my favorite band in the world. But I'm just saying, it's not like...
But yes, it's an example.
No one's swinging. No one's throwing a punch for Rush.
That's true.
A bunch of girls.
Yeah.
Hit me with their fanny pack.
I wanted to get into... All right, let's get to know you, actually, since we're talking about you're a stand-up comedian. I met you about a couple of years ago. No, it was a couple of, I think I met you shortly after I came out here. We went with comedian Nate Craig to watch the Ducks Blackhawks.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
That was great. And that was a Ducks team. Actually, my one upset that I've actually
No, wasn't
picked,
that Ducks Kings?
Was
that
it Ducks
was,
Kings?
That was Ducks Kings.
It was Ducks Kings. Yeah, because the Ducks Kings, the Hawks didn't face the Ducks that year. The Hawks Ducks was last year. Best of, that yeah. was the seventh. That was a great series, too. I'm a big Blackhawks fan, so we talked about that. I love that. Also, I meant to mention this when you mentioned it. I'm talking like an idiot. A few moments ago when you said the Kings were your mistress.
Right.
So you're a diehard Penguins fan. The Kings are your mistress. But you seem to – what I like about you is you respect any hockey team that has a good organization behind it, I feel like.
Oh, I mean, how can you not love the Chicago Blackhawks?
Right.
Like, how can you not? I mean, it's criminal that you guys – now you have, like, senior – advisor Scotty Bowman. I mean, what is that about? I mean, it's as if you needed more help. You know, yeah. I mean, you know, Taves and Kane and I love Jarmelson and I love the whole organization.
Since the old man died, Rocky Wirtz, the son, has really turned the team around. They've given back to the fans. It was sad for a while because I would go to hockey games in the early 2000s in Chicago when we had. Let's see, who was my favorite player? Tony Almonte was great, and we had a couple other guys. But for the most part, as a team, they sucked. The early 2000s Blackhawks were really rough.
Yeah, you guys had like a Jamoff as your captain.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean,
after JR left and played his country club tour, remember JR took his golf clubs to every team. Like, what happened to JR? He'd be in the PGA Hall of Fame before he's in the NHL Hall of Fame.
He would have a hockey bag in one hand and the clubs in the other.
They said they were giving his bobblehead out in Phoenix, and we used to joke on Puck Off that he has a golf club in his hand.
Wearing cleats instead of skates. Yeah, so I remember I had a Roenick jersey when I was like 9 years old. It was great.
Oh, you got to love JR.
Yeah, no, totally. The early 90s Hawks were a lot of fun to watch. That was a good time in Chicago sports because the Bulls were coming on, and we actually lost to your Penguins in the 92 Cup.
92. And the funny thing about that was I think you guys had won. Like, I think you swept everybody. And, we did good against Boston, but we're like, oh, my God, Chicago. And you guys were loaded. Obviously, you were in the finals, and then you guys were up like 3-1 in game one in Pittsburgh, and then we won that game in miracle fashion. Basically, Jágr scored what Lemieux said is the greatest goal he's ever seen when he beat the whole team and it had the backhand.
I think I remember that. Yeah,
yeah. And then Lemieux scored off the faceoff, and then that was it. And that's still been known as the loudest the igloo ever was ever.
I vaguely remember watching that.
Are you young for that?
I was 7. Oh, okay. But I remember that was the first year me and my friends were playing a lot of roller hockey at the time.
Okay.
Because that was, you know, it was around May, so spring, it was like late May, early June. And I remember playing roller hockey during the day and then watching, we were able to watch the game at night. I actually had to go to a friend's house because we didn't have cable. And then we went to my uncle's house for maybe game 2 or 3. I remember watching a lot of the playoffs at my uncle Mike's house, and then we'd watch it. And my cousins and stuff like that. There were a bunch of kids in the neighborhood. My buddy Jeff was a huge hockey fan. And, yeah, I just remember being like, well, this sucks. But then we had the Bulls at the same time. So I was able to kind of get over it a little bit. But that was really the first year I remember really watching hockey when I was like 7 years old. And then the Hawks were, you know, they had some decent teams in the mid-90s a little bit after that. But right around like 98 through about 2006.
As soon as Chelios went to Detroit, it was over.
That was heartbreaking. That was rough to see. Like, that would you know, that would be like seeing
Jágr everywhere else.
Jágr everywhere else.
Well, you know, Jágr everywhere else is fine. Jágr is a Flyer.
Oh yeah, I forgot. I could just use that as an example.
No, well, Jágr is a Flyer is why he's I used to put my Czechoslovakian Jágr doll on top of my tree like Jesus on Christmas. I do. But the year he was a Flyer, he was in my closet, and I thought we lost him in the playoffs because I didn't throw him out. Because he's dead to a lot of people in Pittsburgh because he verbally said he's coming to Pittsburgh. And then, you know, agents and stuff. And,
yeah.
And then he went to Philadelphia. So, yeah. You know.
Will you forgive him in time, Joe?
Oh, I've totally forgiven him because he's the second. Sidney Crosby not only has to win another cup, he has so many more things to do to become the second greatest Penguin of all time. Like, I mean, you know, Yager saved the Lemieux saved the franchise three times. Yager saved the franchise twice.
It's just such a murderer's row of draft picks and studs. I think your buddy Bill Burr talked about it once, almost being like the way the Yankees went from Ruth to Garrick to DiMaggio to Mantle. The way you guys went from Lemieux to Yager to Crosby to Malkin. It's just over, like,
yeah,
just franchise player after franchise player.
We've been blessed. We've been blessed, that's for sure. There was just that little dead period for about 4 years pre-lottery, which I suffered through. My wife suffered through, too, because I still had DirecTV, and I still watched every game. Because that's the thing with people. That's why my wife doesn't care. I watch all the games, and because she saw me. I'm not a front runner when it comes to the Penguins. I was there when they wore blue the first time.
Do you like that powder blue jersey?
No, I can't stand it. I mean, because it reminds me of just when my grandfather was alive, and everyone made fun of us for liking hockey. It was pre-Lemieux, you know. I mean, it's like,
yeah,
you know, it's just
a different era.
Yeah, I just, you know, you want to throw it back once a year, that's fine. But
sure,
I'm not. No,
I like the black and gold because I like the fact that Pittsburgh's three major sports franchises all the same color.
Yeah, I mean, the worst was the gay pigeon they had for a while because Howard Baldwin, that like that logo. That's
I remember
the,
that penguin.
That's
yeah.
The worst of everything. So once that left, once we got back to the original Penguin logo, that's cool. Or one of the original style, if you will.
Nice. So you grew up in Pittsburgh. Were you a big hockey fan from day one? Was your dad into hockey? What got you into the sport? Did you play it?
I no, because, you know, I'm 6'4" and we were lower middle class. So
yeah, you look like a tight end.
So you're gonna play. You're gonna play basketball. I'm not getting up at 5 a.m. to.
That's why I didn't play hockey either. Just too expensive a sport. Yeah, one of the sadder things about it.
Well, this was pre-Lemieux, so there was like three rinks. Now there's a rink literally everywhere in Pittsburgh. Pre-Lemieux, there's like three hockey rinks in the whole.
I was in Pittsburgh.
Divided among 3 million people. Now there's a hockey rink literally every town, suburb, name of a, part of town has a rink.
Yeah, part of town. I was going to say, I was in Pittsburgh in 2011, caught a Hawks, Pens game, saw Consol Energy Center. I think it was like the second year it was open, maybe. It was pretty new stadium. Yeah. Right around then, and I was staying with a couple friends in Southside neighborhood, and there was an outdoor rink like three blocks away. It was crazy.
Yeah,
I was very jealous.
Yeah, there's rinks everywhere now, but we always played orange ball hockey.
Cool. Yeah.
So that's why, like, and I can't skate worth a damn, but now when I play anywhere, I played a couple weeks ago, I got sweet hands. Even the goaltender was like, you know, Aaron Kliber.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, wow, I got a wicked wrister. You know, like, because I got from playing ball hockey my whole life.
All
like,
the guys who are about your size, I'm trying to think of every 6'4 wing I can think of in the NHL has a heavy wrister. One of those strong, you know, Brian Bickle when he was on.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
oh, yeah.
Oh, he's not the player.
He just got
either.
Sent down today, which I think is sad. I thought he was going to be on the playoff roster.
Well, he was always good in the playoffs. That's how he got that contract.
Yeah.
And it just got to the point where they couldn't carry him anymore.
He's Frazier. Frazier loves Bickle.
He does, yeah. I talked about Bickle with Frazier a few times.
But I loved it because my grandfather loved hockey. My grandfather was like the original Sports Center. He would sit watching a game with, like, in the old days, AM radio. You could watch the Penguins game, listen to the Ranger game, or listen to the Capitals game or the Bruins on all the AM stations. So
oh, that's cool.
He watched hockey all the time. So I got into it. And I used to actually go watch my high school hockey team play. I just really like the sport. I know coming from Pittsburgh, you're supposed to love football, but it was kind of like I got so spoiled as a little kid watching what I call the real Steelers.
Sure.
Like I used to go to Three River Stadium when there'd be like five kids and no women. And it was the real Steelers. It was Mean Joe and Lance.
Yeah.
And after that, it's like everything else is just like powder puff. You know, it's all powder puff.
Yeah, you get kind of spoiled. Like, yeah. I'll never be a Bulls fan the way I was watching Jordan in the 90s. You just can't really.
Yeah, I mean, I like Big Ben, but the sports changed. But that's, I mean, I really love hockey. And then in my teen years, Lemieux came to town. And that's, you know, changed everything for Pittsburgh. And then other people started liking hockey, and then everyone starts playing. And then
so you found this band first, and now everyone else is trying to play their records.
No,
I got
no,
you.
No. I mean, I wasn't first. A lot of people liked hockey in Pittsburgh, but
maybe you're the first of your friends.
No, I don't know. No, I actually had like some. I actually had some people who liked hockey. You know, who actually played when we were real little. Like a couple of my neighbors played when I was real little.
My dad actually played in high school and played in college.
He played. Your dad?
Yeah.
Wow.
My dad was. He's about your height too. He was a big guy, played right wing mostly.
Oh, right on.
And defenseman a little bit.
And he didn't want to get up at 5 in the morning for you?
No, well, my parents got divorced. You know, so it was totally a money thing.
Okay.
Because I would always ask him, like, how come I never played hockey, really? And he'd always be like, oh, you look like a baseball player. And I'm like, oh, I look like 60 bucks around the park, around the block. Because I grew up right around the block from Portage Park in Chicago. It was this huge park that had, like, all these gorgeous baseball diamonds and stuff. And so I never really... got to play hockey. I mean, I played roller, like I was saying, a little bit. But I remember that one of the first few times I got on the ice was actually with Steve Byrne, Pittsburgh, big Pittsburgh guy, yeah. Great comedian, and Bill Burr. It was in Chicago right around the time they were doing Just for Laughs Chicago in 2012. And we were hanging out with Dave Bolin, who's on the Florida Panthers now. He was on the Hawks at the time.
Yeah.
He got us ice time. And we just played 3-on-3 rat. And I could skate. I couldn't skate backwards at all. But I could skate enough where maybe I could fool people for a little bit. But that was one of the things I had talked about with Stephen Burr about how much I loved hockey because it's a sport you really can't fake. Because put it this way, if I were dressed head to toe in a Chicago Cubs uniform and you're at Wrigley Field, you're there for like a Cubs-Reds game, whatever, and I walked into the on-deck circle, you wouldn't be like, who the fuck is that? That's not a baseball player. But if I were head to toe in a Hawks uniform and stepped onto the ice, as soon as I stepped into the ice, you'd be like, who, this guy needs to get off the ice.
Right.
This is a joke. Are we having like some sort of like special needs kids get to go on the game? Like, what is this, a Make-A-Wish?
Right.
That's the thing about it. I feel like if I put you in a football uniform, you put that Steelers helmet on, you're a big guy, big shoulders. I might be able to think, oh, maybe this guy's a football player. But with hockey, you know immediately.
Well, there's just something about how fun hockey is to play.
Super fun.
It's just the funnest game to play. Unless you're the quarterback, I don't think football's that fun. I was over football at the PB level. Like, I was just over it. It's like, I don't feel like running this guy for 4 months. Like,
yeah.
I wasn't into it.
I was
and
a receiver,
and
so
I couldn't
kind of
hit the curve. So you kind of had fun.
Yeah.
So I, and I, and
the
I,
skill was, positions had fun.
Yeah. And I wasn't in baseball. I couldn't hit the curveball after like at the age of 13. So, you know, it's like, I can't see that well. So it's like, you know, I just truly love hockey. To me, hockey is like the elements of like so many different sports all combined. Like to stand in front of a net, to have like, you know, say like what, you know, Brandon Saad does, let's just say. Say he's in front of the net trying to deflect pucks. Like it's like Duncan Keith slapping the puck at him. First of all, there's a puck coming at you. You're on ice skates. You're trying to deflect it in such a way to get behind another guy, to get it behind another guy into a net. And there's a big mean guy with bad intentions hitting you in the back with the neck with a stick.
Sure, yeah.
Like, I mean, there's just so many elements. You know, it's like I want to see baseball guys on skates trying to bat with someone hitting them in the back with a baseball bat.
Yeah, it really is a remarkable sport like that.
You know, it's just
and the grit. I love the grit. I love the toughness.
Yeah.
I love how these guys playing with punctured lungs. You got to find out guys are playing with a broken foot.
Oh, Chelios played the one playoff year for you guys with two torn ACLs.
Yeah,
and he scored the game winning OT goal like in game 5 or something like that. You guys lost to the Wings.
Was it Dale Hunter famously played with like a broken leg the whole series and then probably tried to stab a guy with a skate afterwards?
Well, you know what's funny is Dale Hunter did the absolute worst thing I've ever seen in hockey ever when he cheap shot Pierre Turgeon.
Yeah, he was the Happy Gilmore of... I remember that because Happy Gilmore came out in 96, and I think it was 96 playoffs that Dale Hunter did that.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Look it up. If you,
sounds
if
about
if
right.
You're
basically, Pierre Turgeon scored the series winning goal for the Islanders, and Dale Hunter, being the sore loser that he was, just absolutely like major boredom. He was out the rest of the playoffs.
Heck of a nice guy, though. Dude, if you're listening, though, check that on YouTube. You could find some really cool. Hockey highlights on YouTube. You go down a wormhole. I'll start. Oh yeah, I forgot about this play. I started looking this up. Remember when they first started doing the commercials? They were like because it's the cup commercials.
Yeah.
When they first started doing that, and they had it like where there would be a great play, and they'd do it in reverse. I remember one of the first ones I really loved was my buddy Dave Bolin. He had scored a shorty against the Sharks, and it was on a power play. It was a shorty. And I remember he just the breakaway. He just had this cool little deke,
yeah.
And then it went in, and then they reversed it, And then they had this really cool like piano type music and said, what if Dave Bolin didn't play like he was shorthanded? Like, and then it just went to like, because it's the cup. And it was just such a badass thing. So I was watching those videos. And then before I know it, I'm like, I've been watching hockey highlights and like hockey highlights from like decades ago for about 3.5 hours.
Oh, well, that was like in the late 90s when my roommate got like the first computer that I knew, you know, like the first computer of anyone. We stayed up for like all night, not looking at porn, watching old Penguins highlights with Mike Lang.
That was your porn, though.
Oh, yeah, it is
it
my porn.
It got you there. It got
it
you there.
It is my porn.
All right, let's check out a few of the other matchups here. We got to talk about my Blackhawks next. Blackhawks, St. Louis. St. Louis, to me, has been that team in the playoffs the last few years. They're almost kind of like the way the Capitals have been, where they have a great regular season, and they just look like shit come playoff time.
Well, here's the thing. TSN or Sportsnet, start ordering extra large chairs right now, because Captain Kangaroo Ken Hitchcock will be a studio analyst in about 3 weeks. All the St. Louis shitbirds had to do was win the division, and then they could, you know, maybe Dallas would beat the Blackhawks, but no, they couldn't even do that. They are in for a world of hurt. Here's the problem with St. Louis. They have the most overrated defensive core in the history of hockey. Bo Meester, Shattenkirk, Pietrangelo, they're garbage compared to the top three of Chicago. And then St. Louis, when you play all that crap, Ken Hitchcock, slow the game down, blah, blah, blah. Chicago has like at least 6 or 7 game breakers. St. Louis has one. Vladimir Tarasenko, he's great. But
yeah,
St. Louis
great.
Has like 8 of them. And then the goaltending, you know, is it Allen or is it Elliott? And put a cardboard box up. I mean, does it really matter? They're going to choke. I'm so sick of St. Louis. Like, please. I mean, if you wanted to make it your year, you would have won the division. And now you get what you deserve.
Yeah, I hate their fan base, too. They're like the Flyers of the West without a cup to their history.
And well, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
well, you might not know their fan base like I do, because Chicago and St. Louis has developed a rivalry a little bit. And I've gone to a few Hawks Blues games, and the St. Louis fans. And I know I like rowdy fans. I like going to a game where you could get into it. And as much as I hated the Red Wings, I respected them so much as an organization, because how could you not?
Right.
They're hockey royalty.
But really, the St. Louis Cardinal fans, those fans are rowdy Blues fans.
Yeah, they're dicks.
Wow, I would never think that.
They're not really right. You know what they are? You could tell they're the guys who just dusted off their Blues gear just in time for the playoffs. You know they weren't watching games in November and
right.
December. That's why I don't like
them.
I got one comedian friend of mine, Mikey Mank, if you're listening, because he probably will, because he knows I'm going to be talking hockey. He knows what he's talking about, but he's a troll shit talker too.
Well, they have nothing to talk about.
I know. That's why I was saying every time, like they'll every time there's such a regular season fan base, he will do this thing where he'll write on my Facebook wall, like when the Blues will beat us in the regular season. The Blues did have a really cool comeback win against the Hawks a couple months back. We were up like 5-2. They came back 1-6-5. It was a shitty game to watch. And of course I knew right away. He's like that friend where you're like, I'm going to hear it. I'm going to hear it from him.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I get a notification. Mikey Manker wrote on your Facebook wall. And then he's just bragging. And I'm like, you haven't won anything. We've won 3 cups in 6 seasons, and you're going to open your mouth.
I will throw a bone to St. Louis. You know, they need to get rid of Hitchcock. I think if they would have got rid of Hitchcock before this year, they'd have a better chance. I just think he got his cup. You know, he basically stole a cup with Brett Hall's skate in the crease against Buffalo.
Yeah,
and he's been a mediocre coach ever since. Look at that. I think St. Louis's defense is completely overrated. But if you trade 1.5 of those guys, you might get something back. When's Backus ever scored a big goal? I'm sick of hearing about it. All those guys, I'm sick of hearing about.
They've got some nice rookies on their team right now, but they really don't have the experience.
Perrieco's okay. Perrieco's, he'll be good. Fabry's okay. But
yeah,
I mean,
he's on a line with Paul Stastny.
Yeah, Stastny, you know. I don't know.
He's too old now.
Let me tell you. Here's what it comes down to. Your big boys have to play great when it really matters. Everyone's like, you know, Pierre McGoy, oh, the third line grit and all the fourth line grit. Blah, blah, blah. What it really matters is when in the big games, your big boys have to come out and play. Well, I'll take Taves Hosa-Ladd line and the Anisimov, who I hope he comes back for you guys, because he was a big cog.
I'm hoping so.
He's the big center that they needed in the center wars of the 2015.
He's good on the faceoff dot, season. Which is all you need when you have Kane on your right. I mean,
he center drive, so he enables that Panarin to Kane pass to work every time, and I'll take that over any line that St. Louis will put together. I'll take those two lines against anybody, and I love Tarasenko, but you can play crap, slow down, Ken Hitchcock, everyone's in quicksand hockey for only so long, and then people have to score. So on their side, they have Tarasenko. On your side, you have Hosa, Kane, Taves.
Deep.
Panarin, Teravainen, who has
I love Teravainen.
He's done nothing this year, but he'll wake up.
But I'm sure he will. He had a nice little run in the playoffs last year.
Even Fleischmann was a nice pickup.
I love his game.
Fleischmann was a nice pickup to score an odd goal here or there. So needs to say Crawford. He's got a little shaky lately.
That's what he does. He's done that every year they've won the cup. He's had
Darling,
a shaky last five.
Darling
six
has proven, because last year he came in and saved your bacon. So. Darling's
yeah,
proven.
First round.
Darling's proven that he can save the bacon, and I don't have any. I mean, as soon as you think like Elliot is, oh okay, Elliot can do it, then he gets hurt, or oh Allen can do it, then he gets hurt. It's like St. Louis is. I mean, they almost used Brodeur last year.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I mean, they never solved those, and it's all because Hitchcock is an old stupid man. As much as I think, you know, Dan Blausma is a tool on many levels, if Blausma would have been hired to be their coach this year, they would be in a better position to win.
Yeah, you're right. Losing the one seed is what really killed them. I do like the Blackhawks. I've got them in six games, only because I feel like in the first round, the Blackhawks always seem to never just get it together. It's not until the second round is when they start to blow teams away. They've gone six games in the last three playoffs first rounds.
No, I'm going to, you know, four and five is just for routes and just insults. You know, most go six.
Most do go six.
Yeah, six is fair. I have them at six. I might even have them at seven because
I've got them at six, yeah.
I'm not sure. I think the Crawford dynamic is, I think it has to get sorted out.
It does. But I've seen this song and dance before out of Corey Crawford, where he looks like the best goalie in the year. Right around January, they'll start to be like, maybe this is the year he could be a Vezina finalist. And then right around March, right around St. Patty's Day, it's like, should we even start him in the playoffs? Everyone overreacts, of course.
Well, that's the thing is
knee jerk fan with a mustache can't shut the fuck up.
Well, that's the thing, but I don't have any problems with it being shaky for six games, and then them just winning 6-3 because Kane and Taves just say, okay, that's it.
Yeah, that happens
like,
too.
They're going to do that to the Blues. Like, the Blues are not winning that series.
I could see there being a few overtime games mixed in, though. All right. I only have – do you have any upsets in the first round? I want to see if we could highlight any of those series.
Well, you know what? I completely would have taken – I know if people who follow me or listen to anything I've ever done in the last 10 years would say, you take the Sharks every year, and every year they blow it. If the Sharks got the Ducks – I would have taken the Sharks over the Ducks, because the Sharks, there's something a little different about them this year. They got Paulie Martin to handle the back end. I like Martin Jones. He's not a choker. Thornton has a little spur in his saddle this year, and the young kids, Donald Stahl, and then you got Hurdle, kind of the poor young man's Jager. Like, they got a little more. They got a little something to them this year that I think. They're going to make some – I think that against the Ducks, they would have – you know, I love Gibby. He's a Pittsburgh kid. Gibby's been off lately. And Bruce Brugia, between him and Anderson, Bruce Brugia would screw up a two-car funeral. Like, he'd have a goalie controversy if he had Patrick Waugh, you know, and you playing goal. So, I just don't trust Boudreau. And I just think that I just had a good vibe about the Sharks this year. I thought this would be like Joe Thornton's swan song.
I don't trust Boudreau either.
A big FU to the management. But then they got the Kings. And not because I'm a Kings homer.
Kings are big. I like the way they play.
It's just the Kings. You've seen it the last couple of weeks. Jonathan Quick has a different level. And Quickie, when Quickie slams the door. And the Kings can roll. They got Pearson playing now. They got Pearson back. They got some of the young kids back and healthy. Toffoli's like this young superstar he is again. And the Kings can roll 3.5 lines of hell on people. And it's the Sharks.
Yeah,
don't,
I witnessed it.
The Sharks don't have a chance on that. But that would have been my upset. Now I like the Ducks versus the Predators because we all know daylight savings time. James Neal doesn't score when the sun's out.
No.
And the Ducks will score enough because Rene is not Rene right now. He's not the same goaltender. The Ducks will score on him. So I like the Ducks and the Kings. I like the Stars. I think the Stars got it all going on, especially if they get Sagan back. And I would love to see the Stars and the Hawks because the Stars' only problem this year was they played like Calgary and Edmonton when they played Calgary and Edmonton. But when they played like the Blackhawks and the Kings, they put a beating on some teams.
Yeah, they stepped up their game. I have the Blackhawks beating them though in the second round, and I had the Blackhawks-Kings matching up in the Western Conference Finals.
That's what I would have too. But I haven't revealed that much. But
so if the Kings are your mistress, could the Blackhawks be like your side bitch?
I think the Blackhawks are my
because the Penguins are your wife, we know that.
I think the Blackhawks are my third favorite team. Cool. And if you listen to my podcast, you can probably figure that out.
Yeah, Sod was your man crush.
And not to be a front runner, you have to love that kind of hockey. And I've always loved the Islanders because I love John Tavares, and I think he's the closest thing to Lemieux that's just out there. A genuinely game that's just so talented that just gets his points and his goals. Just like If they lose 5-1, like Tavares, that's a goal.
Yeah.
And I love their fourth line of Clutterbuck, Cizikas, and Matt Martin. Matt Martin's like one of the last real men in the NHL. But I actually picked Florida over.
I got Florida over them, too.
Over the Islanders.
I got Detroit over Tampa.
That is the toughest one to call because, it's maybe the saddest series in NHL history because both teams' best players don't want to be there.
Stamkos.
Don't want to be there. I mean, Dak suit. Wants to be in Russia.
Sure.
And Stamkos wants to leave Tampa Bay so hard, he got a blood clot from clicking all the likes of trade rumors on Twitter.
He got himself trending there for a bit.
The only thing that it's a tough one because I think maybe roster for roster, I think Detroit might have a better forwards with some of the Tampa Bay's injuries. But Mrazek and Howard, they don't want to stop anything. And Bishop is played in I've maligned Bishop many times. And last year I picked Detroit because I thought Bishop was overrated. But this year I think Bishop's on his game. I'm going to probably take Tampa Bay.
Okay. All right. Cool. I respect that. And then I have Washington. And I said I got Washington beating your Penguins in round two. That's going to be a hell of a series, though.
Yeah, it should be fun. Let's hope it happens.
Because
let's hope it for many levels. One is
I just think that's great for hockey because now that Crosby looks like he's back to looking like Crosby. I mean, you're right. He was the second half MVP. I still think Kane wins the Hart Trophy overall.
He should.
He had an incredible year.
He had an incredible season.
Yeah,
he really
American
did.
Over 100 points.
Yeah, Kane's the league MVP. I'm not even debating that. I just said that Crosby was the MVP of the second half.
Yeah, and I agree with
but
that.
But you can't take away. They only didn't care about the first half like 3 years ago when they gave it to Ovechkin. When Ovechkin had like 3 goals at Christmas and then ended up with like his normal 50. But
yeah.
That's Ovechkin.
Some guys, you got to look at the back of that hockey card, and those stats are always about the same, no matter how rough they start, right?
Yeah, water always finds its level or whatever.
Yeah, there's all sorts of cliches for that one. And then Hawks, Capitals. Here's the thing about that. People are going to call me a homer for choosing the Blackhawks. I know a couple guys who really like Dallas this year and the Kings, of course. I don't like the Ducks. I thought to myself, I didn't pick it. Or did I? Holy shit, I did pick it. I was filling out this bracket. NHL.com, me and my friends are doing this bracket challenge thing. And I really, really was pulling my hair over this one. Because I like to have one first-round upset. And I did. I actually did choose Nashville to upset Anaheim. But you just made such a great case where I'm like, man, that's probably a dumb call. Either way, though, it doesn't matter. Because either one of them, I think, would lose to the Kings in the next round. I have Hawks, Capitals. But the main reason I picked the Hawks, when they made that trade for Andrew Ladd, I was so confident. And the fact that I thought Bowman was really going for it. Because usually with the salary cap the way it is, it's so hard to repeat in the NHL, which is also what makes it great. I like the fact there's a new winner every year. Right. But I really think Bowman has thought to himself, what's the one thing I haven't done? And what's the one thing that would really cement my legacy out of my dad's shadow if I could win back-to-back cups with the hard salary cap in this era? And I think that Ladd trade was him saying, I'm going for it. And that's right there. I said, I like the Hawks to repeat. And even though there's been a few things over this last 5 to 6 weeks of play where I'm like, I might be second guessing that, I'm still going with them beating the Washington Capitals in the Stanley Cup final. Enter, you get to enter the goals scored in the final series. I got 27 combined goals.
Yeah, I don't know.
No, you call me a homer idiot if you want. That's
no,
fine.
No,
I
no,
can
no,
take
no,
it.
No, no.
Joe,
I,
take it.
No, I don't. I like the Capitals out of the East. I think, how can you not? I don't know. If it comes Kings, Kings Blackhawks, and not the homer in me, or not the whatever, the mistress in me, I think if the Kings are rolling at that level, I think they got a little bit more than the Blackhawks, in the sense that I know Keith will be rested, and I'm not down on Trevor Van Riemsdyk. I'm not down on him at all. I think he's a nice fourth when Jarmelson's your third. I think people, a lot of Petkoff fans are like, oh, it's the end of the world because they only have, you know, I'm like, you're much better off. Roosevelt's back. I think there's a few Kings that know this might be their swan song with the Kings. I think there's a little bit of pride there, and they weren't there last year. I think the Kings have a little bit more to play with.
They got that chip for not making the playoffs last year.
Play for,
sure.
And I think when Quick's on the top of his game, it'll go seven. It's a coin flip, but I would just take the Kings. I think the Kings are a little different than when the Hawks beat them last time. But with Luch and LeCavalier playing now for the Kings, I think they're a little bit different. I think they're a little bit different than they were last time. I think Toffoli's a better than the, I think they're just a better team right now. But I will never take anything away from Taves and Duncan Keith and the will of a champion. So it'll be a war.
That's going to be the series. Whoever wins that, I feel like, is going to be your Stanley Cup champion. It feels like lately the Western Conference final has almost been the real Stanley Cup final in terms of who the best two teams are.
It's hard to say because I'm not trying
to dog the East.
No. It's hard to say because I mean, I think either of those teams would probably beat the Penguins, who I think right now are probably either the second or third team to come out of the East as far as the betters. But Washington plays big boy hockey. They have more than a puncher's chance to beat a team from the West.
Fair enough.
They have big guys. They have the best 1-60. We talked about this. And Holtby can stone cold anybody for a series. Like, Holtby is the real deal in that. So before, against anybody else, I think it's much easier for the West. But if the Capitals have two easy series and are rested, but not too rested, still on the edge, the Capitals have a very good chance to win.
The Capitals are scary good. All right, well, that's the hockey coverage. Now I've been having my guest choose the 30 for 30, and you chose a hell of a one. The 30 for 30 we're going to review is called The Best There Never Was, and it's basically the Marcus Dupree story.
And just incredible.
This documentary knocked me on my ass a couple times.
How awesome was his high school footage?
His high school footage, it was, there's a cliche about a man amongst boys. This really was a man amongst boys. This was like...
He literally looked like you're playing Madden or whatever video game, and you hit like A and hold down the B button, and the guy turns into Superman.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And no one can tackle him. It was like he had a glow around him.
He was turbo always.
Yeah.
It was a freak. It was unbelievable to watch because he was like 6'2", 6'3", by the time he was a senior, and like 230, 240.
Benching like 450
pounds.
Yeah,
they said the one.
And running like a 4'3", or something.
He benched 410 times as a junior. He set the high school record for touchdowns. That was Herschel Walker's record for a long time. The high school game footage is just insane.
It's worth that alone. Just TiVo, even if you only watch 10 minutes, just watch the high school footage. You'll never see someone dominate a game like that. Ever.
He grew up in a town called Philadelphia, Mississippi, which is weird. And this town is famous for the movie Mississippi Burning, is basically what it's based off of. Those three kids, the three civil rights workers who were killed. It was kind of like there was church burning. So when he was like growing up, I mean, this is kind of, he kind of grew up in the late 70s though, but this was like the, when he was born, right around the time he was born, a little bit before, this is when the big turmoil, the 64 Civil Rights Act was happening in this town. And it's amazing. They even show how one of his good friends in high school was the son of the sheriff who went to jail for like a decade over the whole thing that happened. If you've ever seen the movie Mississippi Burning, if you're listening, you got to check that movie out. It's with Gene Hackman, Willem Dafoe before he started playing all sorts of weird, creepy guy roles. And it's a pretty powerful movie.
And Frances McDormand, is that her name?
Yeah. Yeah, who's in Fargo and some other movies.
Yeah, she's a great actress.
Yeah.
Like, she's a great, it's a great movie. It's a great movie. It's Popeye Doyle at his best.
Yeah, Hackman's a badass in it.
Yeah, it's a great movie. But you know, the two things I caught from that, or the one thing I really remembered about that movie is when he was saying he was in All Go to Texas when he saw Earl Campbell's watch, yeah. and then he saw Billy Sims's watch, and he's like, I'm gonna go to Oklahoma.
Yeah that's hilarious. He's like, that one, diamonds around it. Yeah.
And then Barry Switzer is such a prick.
Yes.
That he literally, basically he got homesick. He's like, you know, he was a kid away from home and never left Mississippi. And he got homesick in Oklahoma, so he went home at Christmas and didn't want to come back. But he came back for the bowl game. And basically, I forget the numbers exactly, but basically he ran for like 350 yards and like 8 touchdowns. And Oklahoma lost like, whatever, 60-58.
They lost to Arizona State. I've got the numbers. This was the Fiesta Bowl, and Arizona State was the number one rushing defense. Okay. They had held teams to 68 rushing yards a game. He then sets the Fiesta Bowl record with 265 yards, and he only played the half the snaps. He played like 32 plays.
And Switzer blamed the loss on him being out of shape.
Yeah. So, what a piece of shit. Because to me, right, they showed the media coverage right when the game was over. You know, coach, how'd you feel? You guys just lost the Fiesta Bowl. He calls out the rookie who carried the team. He scored 2 touchdowns.
Only 2? I thought it was more than that.
No, I think it was 3.
Right, you have it right.
No, I got it right down. 3. And yeah, the coach basically tells the media, oh, he's the reason we lost. It's his fault. He came out of shape. He was 10 pounds over shape. He was winded a lot and all that. And he did look a little winded, but still. He had the Superman game.
Yeah. And then the moral of that story is, too, is anyone with a reverend in front of their name is a crook.
Yes. Totally.
That's no, the fastest way to spot a criminal is if they have Rev in front of their name.
Rev Ken Farley, who was his agent, who had no experience, wasn't really an agent.
No,
not
it was
a
just
lawyer.
Stealing money. Stealing money
totally
from everybody.
Totally just ripping this kid off. He robs him blind.
But doesn't every reverend rob? I mean, except for Martin Luther King, isn't every reverend just a thief?
Pretty much.
Yeah. Thinking
about, you know,
there's
Jesse
so many
Jackson
there's so many comedy writers, guys like, oh no, he's a reverend because that just means it's tax free.
Basically. Yeah.
I can steal the money I want.
Why not?
Yeah.
Let's get in that game.
Yeah.
They also have nice houses, those reverends, ripping off.
Banging all the dumb chicks too. Oh, he's close to Jesus. Let me blow him.
Yeah. So I think right there, I'd known Barry Switzer because he's a big name in college football history, but I didn't really know a lot of the details of him as a coach. And I think some people might watch this documentary and think, oh no, what? So Marcus was a little sensitive and he couldn't handle it when his coach was giving him shit. Well, fuck him. He's a pussy. You know, there might be some people with that mentality. And that's where I think you're wrong, because I think good coaches, great coaches, I should say, know the difference between when to give a guy a kick in the ass and when to let him know it's all right. I really believe that there are some coaches who will kick you in the ass all the time, and that doesn't work on every player. And I really think a different coach, this kid, he probably would have had a storied NFL career. I think Switzer is part to blame for it. And Switzer even, you know, they're interviewing him in present day for the documentary, and he even admits, he goes, I handled him wrong. He goes, you can't handle all players the same because all players are different.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm not saying we need coaches to go softer on people, but
I think he was kind of a puss, but, you know, that comes back to not having a dad.
And not having the right people around him.
And not having the right people around him. But the fact that he blamed the loss, it's just ludicrous.
That to me, if I'm the star player there, how could I go to bat for a coach like that?
No.
You can't. It's really hard to do.
Yeah, incredibly hard to do. And then, I mean, Switzer, I mean, he's because the Reverend had him sign with the USFL. And
yeah, because
Switzer
ruined
his NFL career.
Totally ruined his NFL career. What happened is after a game against Texas during his sophomore season, he suffered a bad concussion. And because he went head to head with a real tough defensive guy, and he was all out of it. And they're showing this in a documentary where he wasn't making sense. And so he went home. He went back to Mississippi. And then his mom was like, no, you got to go back to school. And he's like, my head, all this kind of stuff. And, you know, his uncle Curly, who was not a good guy either.
Right.
When it sounds like he was giving terrible advice. And then the one coach, the coach of Texas, when during the recruiting process, he's like, oh, yeah, of course. There's always an uncle. There's always some uncle. Like, you can tell he's still bitter because he really thought, oh, we had him at Texas. And then that uncle got in the way.
Right.
And he had him dropped him off at the airport, but then like he got out of the car and just waited for the car to turn around the corner and then like left, went by his buddy's house, and then just there was missing. It was on the news. There was FBI was looking for him because it had been like 4 days. This was before cell phones and Facebook updates and Twitter.
Right.
And it kind of reminded me how crazy life was back in those days. My dad famously went to Mexico with some of his buddies like when he was around 21, 22, like in the summer, and was going to go for a week. Stayed for a month. He was having such a good time. And after, like, when they thought he was going to be back, nothing. So, like, my grandparents are worried and stuff like that. After being gone for, like, maybe 2 weeks, they get a postcard from him. And the postcard just read, am fine. They didn't even say, I'm fine. Well, am fine, which is just terrible grammar. And it made me think of that because I'm like, oh, that is such a fucking, like, back in the day. You could just disappear for a few days. It was really easy. You couldn't disappear now. It'd be impossible.
No, you can't.
Especially if you had any kind of level of notoriety like this kid did. So then he just decides, he goes, I'm not going back there, signs up for classes at Ole Miss, but because of ineligibility, this horrible reverend guy then gets it. So, all right, the USFL, which had rules where they wouldn't take a sophomore, but they changed the rule special because they wanted Marcus Dupree.
Right.
You know, they wanted those ratings. Signs a contract, never sees a check. I think he said he saw one check from the team. What was the team called again? The Breakers, I want to say. They were the New Orleans.
Yeah, they're the New Orleans team.
Yeah, the New Orleans team that ended up going over to Portland.
I watched it once the whole way through. And,
yeah, the Breakers.
And after that, I only watched like the first 20 minutes because the rest is just too sad.
It was so heartbreaking.
It just makes me want to break that reverend's neck.
Yeah, the way he screwed him out of the money, because he was such a good kid. He had a brother who had cerebral palsy.
Right.
And he really played hard for his brother because he always felt real bummed out that his brother couldn't walk.
Yeah.
And he could never be able to run.
Like, you couldn't find a kid with a bigger heart than Marcus Dupree.
Yeah.
And, like, you really, like, they just shit on him.
They
like,
really. So while you're watching this, three quarters in, you're getting sad.
Yeah.
And I was getting sad. I was feeling it. Then there's the turning point because they showed the injury that he almost always thought he would get, and it turns out he did get it, where his leg breaks, and the footage makes you go, ah, like, if you've ever hurt your leg, you will grab your leg watching this horrific injury. So he's done. They announced he can never play again. The doctors were like, it's over. So he's not going to see any money. What's he going to do for the rest of his life? He goes into a depression, basically. And, yeah, we got a few minutes left, so I'll just wrap it up real quick with you.
No. I just looked at the point once.
Oh, cool. No problem, bud. So right there, you're feeling it. Now he's going back to his trailer in some small town in Mississippi. And it's just, so they're playing that music. They're really getting me. I'm just freaking getting depressed now. They've been cut to like Tom Brokaw saying, sad story, Marcus Dupree. You know, this was national news. There was a book written about the recruiting process was so big. Like, no one had ever seen a recruiting process for a high school player before. They wrote a book about, like, this dude was like the guy.
I remember hearing his name when I was not a kid. He was about, you know, but I remember hearing his name. I do remember hearing about him.
Well, at the time, too, when he signed with the USFL, he was the richest 19-year-old athlete in the history of pro sports at that time because he was getting $1 million a season. They signed him for 5 years, $5 million. So $1 million a year as a 19-year-old.
Imagine in those days in Mississippi.
What a – you buy half the state.
Yeah.
Living large. So the Fairley guy turns out to be a scumbag, all this kind of stuff. They end up trying to sue him because Marcus, he's talking. He's like, oh, so I'm getting – bills in the mail. I'm like, I never remember doing any of this. I didn't do anything. He gave him power of attorney. And those three words, never give anyone power of attorney. That's just bad. It's bad news there. So you're starting to feel real sad. And then it talks about how he's just like, I can't go down like this. He then starts working out about 5 years after he'd played at football. He'd go 5 years without ever playing. He loses 100 pounds in 3 months.
He went into a shed in Mississippi in the summer and lifted weights where his grandma would come and check on him thinking he was dead.
Yeah.
Because it was so hot.
Yeah, he said it would be up to like 115 degrees in there.
Yeah, and he was just benching and doing squats by himself, which is, you know, as dangerous as you can get.
And I didn't know this because I looked up some more stuff about him. They left this out of the documentary. Walter Payton told him, don't give up. And that's why he went back in. And when he got, he was able to sign with the LA Rams, he wore 34 for Walter Payton.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Why would you leave that out of the documentary? I don't know. Maybe they cut it for time or something.
But it's cool, though, that he then Imagine of everything. Imagine all the people in every junior college. Imagine every Yahoo that's working at the TSA now. Every just lump in this country.
Every drip.
Yeah, that just thinks they could play in the NFL or tries to make it in the NFL or blah, 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 blah. This guy came back and did it after 5 years.
He got back to a 4.340.
Yeah, and then played for the Rams and got in a game.
Yeah, there was this one journalist who was like a local reporter in the town. He said, Marcus showed up at my place. I remember him saying, I've been working on a comeback. I want you to come, you know, check me out. He goes, it was like a Greek god. He was standing there with his shirt off. And I go, I've never seen anyone more cut and sculpted in my life. This guy's going to make it back in the NFL. And he goes, I can't wait to write this story. And so right there, you're like, yes, you know, you're feeling like so pumped up. And what really got me at the end, and it really makes you think about life in general and about, hey, there's, you know, be content. And there's you hit the goals and you don't need this. You don't need that. Do things for, you know, to make yourself proud of what you could accomplish. As he played two seasons for the Rams, played about 15 games, only scored one touchdown, but was a serviceable second string running back. Got in, got, you know, maybe 12, 15 carries a game. When they cut him even though he was like the leading rusher of the preseason going into that, what would have been his third year with the Rams, 92 season. He said, I was okay with it. I was happy. I did what I set out to do. I got in the NFL. I proved I could play at that level. And he's smiling. He's got this big smile. And you're feeling like, this is great. What a good way to end this. And I needed this because last week I'd watched Benji, which has no happy ending at all, other than the guy who was who murdered him is now doing charity work, which still doesn't do anything for me.
No.
So that was just way too depressing. So to see this, because you always hear about the what might have been and the best that ever the best that ever was, the name of the documentary, really made me happy. I remember being like,
well, I'm glad I turned.
Dude, the great pick. I was getting teary eyed thinking about this poor guy who's now a truck driver in Mississippi and all that.
No, it could be like an I don't like movies, so but it could have been like to me it's like an Academy Award winning like.
They
like
should
it's
make
that
a,
big of a deal. Like it's that
it should
cool.
be a feature. You know, this is a documentary version. They should actually cast and make this into a real movie.
Yeah.
Because this would be a great movie. It, right.
It'd be like the Vince Papale movie, you know?
Totally.
But it's actually more better. Drama.
More, way more drama. What's like the heightening of it all?
Samuel L. Jackson can play the Reverend.
Yeah. That's good casting right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, because think about that. You have the bad guys. You got the evil Reverend. You know, you've got like the people giving him bad advice, the bad uncle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The single mother who did the best she could with a disabled son.
Yeah,
and
someone
son
could play
superstar.
The disabled kid could win best supporting actor.
That's, Cuba Gooding already won one for that. Michael B. Jordan got snubbed on Creed, so he could be the disabled kid.
Oh, Black Rocky?
Yeah, Black Rocky. And yeah, totally, this should be a movie.
It's such a great story. And if anything, all the football junkies out there, if you're watching draft info shows, TiVo this and watch this. It's
yeah,
way
definitely,
more interesting.
Definitely check that out. Joe Bartnick, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me, Joe. This is a pleasure. This was fun.
Where can my listeners find you?
Puck Off. It's on iTunes and Stitcher and all the normal stuff. And I have a lot of fans in Chicago. I'm trying to get back there. I'm working. We got the Suits working a deal, trying to work a deal with Zany. So we'll see what happens. And you know, come check me out on the road.
Yeah, definitely.
I play everywhere.
I have a lot of Chicago listeners still, so definitely Joe Bartnick is worth seeing. The guy's hilarious, great dude. Thanks again for being on the podcast. They can follow you on Twitter @Joe Bartnick.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks again, everyone, for listening to Comedians Talking Sports.